guest today here on Keep Up Alive, Dr. Boyce Watkins, professor of finance at Syracuse University. Danny Schechter, the news dissector, the filmmaker who brought us In Debt We Trust. Jonathan Jackson, our national spokesman, and you, the people, are calling in from around the nation. Call me at 1-866-594-HOPE, 1-866-594-4673. On our website, www.rainbowpushcoalition. We intend June 27th through July 1st to have a People's Economic Summit Conference in Chicago at the Hyatt as we focus on some action to make sure that the stimulus gets to the bottom and not just water the leaves, but also water the roots. You, the people who have an opinion, may call me right now at 866-594-HOPE. Jonathan, the thing that strikes me as to be the most horrible in the hearings in Washington this past Tuesday was banks getting fees for free money. That seemed to me just raw exploitation, and there's no penalty for them having done it and for doing it.
Correct, and they will justify that as the standard operating procedure, and it is. The previous caller, I couldn't disagree with him more when he made the comment that he'd like to see government get out of the way, and that he'd also, in many of these banks, their problem was giving loans to unqualified people. And I think we really need to take the time to get to the heart of what is ailing the banks, and that way we can agree on what can cure the banks. Many people are trying to make this politicized and say that persons that were unqualified were forced to give, the banks were forced to give them money. They are putting a victimization mentality on the banks, that they were just so generous, so giving, so caring, so sharing, that now, woe me, I have this problem. No, no one made these banks resisted fair lending laws. They resisted community reinvestment acts. They ended up fighting against regulation. They fought for deregulation. They got everything they wanted and more, and now they're not happy with their results. So we have to understand that greed is at the heart of this. So we need to create new bank charters so we can have new banks that are regionally focused for North Carolina, for South Carolina, for the inner city communities, where you can know your bank president and invest locally so you can get a handshake the way banking has always worked and works best around the world, Rev.
I was just going to mention one thing, Reverend. Today in the Washington Post, Nouriel Roubini has an editorial calling for nationalization of the banks. The New York Times financial writer is now saying that might not be such a bad idea. I think you're going to see a lot of momentum around this whole question of whether the bank should be nationalized and taken over by the public, because that's what seems to be the only way to enforce them to serve the public interest.
And, you know, and Rev, I'd like to make one other point on that. We talk about of this $780 billion that's going out into the stimulus package, and will it touch the roots? Let's clearly understand it's only going to be roughly $195 billion of new spending. Of that $780 billion, $195 billion is going to be new spending. But within the last 6 months alone, Citigroup has gotten guarantees of $270 billion, AIG over $150 billion, Bear Stearns of $30 billion. $450 billion without public discussion or comment was given to these three banks alone.
Dr. Boyce Watkins,
I will say that when you talk about bank nationalization, it's a sticky topic and one that's that has its pros and its cons. I do know that in China, where there is a great degree more nationalization of industry, you do see some advantages that some of their banks might actually obtain in the global economy due to nationalization, and it would actually lead to a stricter enforcement of lending standards to ensure that banks only lend in situations where there is proof of creditworthiness. I'm not here to point the finger necessarily at anybody in terms of how this crisis went. We've done that enough already. But what I will say is that bankers are designed to exploit financial illiteracy. For example, if there's a loan that the bank can get approved for you, and the banker knows that you can't afford that loan, well, under the old system, the banker had no incentive to ensure that you would be able to repay that loan, because the banker was going to turn around and sell the loan as soon as they made it to you. So both you and the banker were actually the consumer's in the worst situation. The banker gets his commission and they take off and run at the expense of the American taxpayer. So effectively, the breakdown of our system was due not always necessarily to bad people per se, although some people are bad and they are greedy. It was really due to a set of very bad incentives. And even now, you see where credit card companies are exploiting the financial crisis by raising interest rates on borrowers, even when they've proven that they've been credit worthy and made all their payments on time. A lot of people don't know that's going on as well. So the bankers will never do the right thing. We need to make
a lot of weight on the bankers, but the collapse of checks and balances, the collapse of enforcing credit laws, fair lending laws, the absence of broad participation, it seems that the government's ideological commitment opened up the doors and banks ran afoul because they simply did not have any obligation on it. Without the law being enforced, you have something called slavery. Without the law being enforced, you have something called Jim Crow. Without the law being enforced, women can't work or get wages. Without the law being enforced, workers can't organize. Law plays a big role in what has happened. The collapse of law plus greed was a big factor in this whole deal. David from San Francisco, good morning, David.
Yeah, morning, Reverend, and your guest. You know, I wanted to talk about the green economy as it comes into this, but just before I do, I agree a great deal with the previous caller. And he was talking about idea of nationalizing the banks. There'd be there's a spin on that, a wordplay spin on it. Frankly, it should be just asset forfeiture. If these banks were acting in a criminal manner, then the government, whether it's a state or county government, or if it was a national bank, should be seizing those banks as either a criminal enterprise or used in some duplicitous way. It should be asset forfeiture. And so to call it nationalization plays right into the hands of the old John Birch Society, but frankly, I would look at it much more as a criminal enterprise that needs to be redistributed back to the people who got cheated. But the idea
before you make your other point, though, is so long as we take the position that let bygones be bygones, and there is no retroactive investigation for criminal acts, then we cannot find out just where this thing went awry. Continue, David.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's absolutely true. We can't just allow these, you know, the organizers of such a scandal to just wander free and start in the next looting. You know, the redevelopment, though, of God's green earth is what I'm more interested in. And the whole bailout package really, as far as I could tell, didn't do much to deal with global warming or to the environmental crises that we've got. A week or two ago, I called about the Tennessee Valley Authority dam spill that blew out in eastern Tennessee. That's going to poison 300 miles of the Tennessee River and much of the Tom Bigbee waterway in the lower Mississippi. And the people, for the governor of Tennessee to not declare that a disaster, is leaving all of the people in Nashville, Huntsville, Chattanooga, Paducah, Kentucky, Memphis, and New Orleans in danger because of their water source. They should be getting some kind of instant medical care. They should be working on projects to clean up that river. And so the stimulus package should have been working on cleaning up the hazardous waste dumps that these corporations have been dumping on America for the last century or so. And
what strikes me about that, David, is that we are spending this time chasing down ball players for taking steroids retroactively, whether it's Barry Bonds or Rodriguez, but not chasing down bankers. Why is that more interesting, chasing down a ball player than chasing down a banker? Help me, somebody. I know it's early on Sunday, but please help me.
Isn't that bread and circuses?
Well, you know, Reverend, you're absolutely right. There seems to be a sort of refusal here to really analyze this. I think we need a national blue ribbon commission, a commission of people who have some expertise in this area to help explain to the American people how this happened, who made money on it, who profited, what laws were violated, because unless that happens, I don't think we're going to get anywhere. The media itself has not really done the investigations we need. In fact, it was the media outfits, Frank Rich writes about this in the New York Times today, the media outfits basically took every Republican criticism seriously and devoted tremendous amount of time to it, but people who were saying, hey, the stimulus is not big enough, they didn't get any airtime.
You know, and well, Reverend, I've thought about the regulation component recently. I mean, you have the extreme in China. If they've had persons that were involved in tainted medicine and in tainted milk, literally the Chinese government has had those inspectors executed. And then on the U.S. side, you're talking about the other extreme. You've got a gentleman, Madoff, who's stolen people's retirement, charitable money, pensioners, $50 billion worth. He still walks the street and stays in his condominium in Midtown. And you've got this peanut salesman and the peanut owner manufacturer down in Lynchburg, Virginia, and in Georgia that willfully sold peanut butter that could kill people, and it did. And now he's just looking at bankruptcy and has not had to go to jail yet.
And kids with 5 grams of crack, 3 years in jail, mandatory. Something crazy about that to me. Welcome back. Keep it alive. We'll have some closing thoughts here. Given the present economic crisis in credit and banking and the like, will this stimulus package, Dan and Check, to get us there?
I think that it's a first step. It's an important first step. But I think your proposal for reducing student loan interest rates to 1%, getting to work on these credit card issues, are very essential as we move forward.
Dr. Watkins, will the stimulus package get us there?
It'll get us there if that's where we want to go. We have to remember that everyone can benefit from global trade, but we must make sure that that happens. The American worker has lost a lot of bargaining power. Trade unions are weaker. The buying power of the minimum wage is at a 50-year low. Healthcare costs are rising. So we've got to do something if we want to save our country.
Jonathan?
Reverend, the question becomes for me that if we know this is a $3+ trillion problem, according to Bill Gross of PIMCO, who manages over $700 billion, would we proceed on fixing this problem that we've put $800 billion in front of the same way we would approach a $3 trillion problem? We need to have reconstruction to fix things bottom up, new bank charters, bring the SBA, and lock up some of these bandits that have stolen this money.
Let me say to you, I want you, it's time to rally the troops. June 27th to July the 1st, the Rainbow Push Coalition is convening a People's Economic Summit Conference in Chicago. If you're interested, call me this week at 773-FREEDOM, 773-FREEDOM. And beyond that, on our website, www.rainbowpush.org. Through it all, President Barack Obama has made a gallant step forward. Need lots of help, needs his back covered, and much prayer. We the people through it all can make it. God bless you and keep hope alive.
Thank you for listening to Keep Hope Alive with Reverend Jesse Jackson. For more information on upcoming shows and guests, please visit our website at www.keephopealiveradio.com.